Good morning. I'm still battling a little bit of a cough and nasal junk, so bear with me today. I never did test positive for COVID, but Sarah had it, and I had all the symptoms, so I'm assuming the test was just wrong. Happy New Year. Joy to be with you for our first Sunday of 2024. Sorry we had to move services last week to New Life. We end up having nobody really to do kids, nobody really to do nursery. I was sick, so Pastor Bernard was planning on preaching, and it was just, we continue to have people dropping. And so when David Whitman told me he couldn't be here last week, I said, we got to cancel. Because you can't go without a greeter, although he's still sick, so pray for him this week. He is still sick. So Ben, I said, David 2.0, come in, Ben, to greet. Every year I like to give a word for the upcoming year, and most of you have heard me share one of our words in the last few years, and if you have, you know that our word has tended to been consequential for that year. We have seen that word come to fulfillment in one way or another. And so the purpose of me giving that word for the year is twofold. Number one, it's to give us some direction, give us something to aim towards. But number two, it's also to give us some expectation of what the year may have in store for us. And so in 2023, our word for the year was B-E. We talked about applying it in three ways. We talked about being who God has called us to be as his followers, which basically means that we seek to obey him and live as Christians. We talked about being who God has called us to be individually. God has gifted each of us individually to serve a specific purpose within the church and within the kingdom of God. And then we talked about our church being who God has called our church to be in 2023, to walk into that calling, that vision that God has for us. And so when you look back, I think when you go to the first one, be who God has called his followers to be, if I'm honest, I think we've seen mixed results of this. I think that we should make it our goal here in 2024 as well to not tolerate any sin in our life. Anything that shouldn't be there should not be there. We need to continue to try to be who God has called us to be as followers of him. The second one is be who God has called us to be individually. And for the most part, we've seen people fulfilling their individual callings more and more. I think about specifically with what happened at New Life. We needed people to step up, to work, to do things at New Life. And you guys have done that for the most part. From all the guys who helped do the work when we were doing the remodeling, to all of the people who helped us paint, to there the first few weeks, they needed volunteers from our church to go up there and to serve in kids and nursery. And you guys have stepped up and done that. And even recently, we've had people continue to come up with ideas of things that they want to start on their own. And it's just wonderful things seeing the church beginning to operate together as God has called us to operate. And that leads into the last one, be who God has called our church to be. For years, going back all the way to 2018, 2019, we've cast this vision that our long-term vision for this church, that God's long-term vision for this church is that we would create a local network of healthy, missional, rural churches. And it only took, I think we presented that in 2019, it happened in 2023, 4 years for that network to get started through our partnership with New Life Community Church. Our church has stepped up to be who God has called it to be as a church. And you're going to hear today the next step of that process is beginning to happen. This year, I think God has led me to tell you basically that we need to keep the course. And so our word for the year is expand. Expand. And I mean it in three ways. Number one, to expand our capacity, to expand the kingdom of God, and to expand our kingdom influence. Randy asked me a few word of the year, and I hadn't even thought about it yet. And as soon as Randy asked me, this was the first word that came to my mind, expand. And so I prayed about it, and this is our word. When we talk about expanding, it means to become or make larger or more extensive. So we need to make our capacity larger, and I'm not talking about the seats or the building or anything like that. We need to make the kingdom of God larger, and we need to make our kingdom influence more extensive. So today I want to talk about those three statements, but I'm going to structure this sermon in a lot different way than I typically do a sermon. I'm going to start by reading through Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. This is the scripture that God has led me to for this year. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to straight up Bible study these verses for the first half of my sermon. And then the second half, we'll work through those three statements and how they apply and how we pull them from Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. So let's start. I'm actually going to have it on the screen, and we're going to mark this up and really work through it together. Paul says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The letter to the Ephesian church is one that we tend to look to when we want to understand how the church is supposed to operate. And Paul, he has some great prayers that he prays for the church, the Ephesian church, and ultimately for all of us in these scriptures. And I love this particular passage here. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, one of my favorite prayers that Paul prays. The cool thing about these prayers, though, is they're not just praying with empty theology. There's some deep stuff in these prayers, some truths that we need to pull from it to understand. And so Paul, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches. Now his is referring to God, obviously. And he says that God has glorious riches. That is the source of what he's praying for us to have strength from. God obviously does have glorious riches because he's God. In fact, everything that he has created, he has access to. And because he has his riches is basically referring to God's endless resources. His resources never end. So Paul is praying that out of God's endless resources, that God would strengthen the church with power. The power living in us. And all of that is for a reason. When you see that so that there, we call that a cause and effect relationship. You have to go back and you have to look at what was through his Spirit. So that tells us that it's delivered through the Holy Spirit. But the reason is so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The cause is that God is going to give you power. The effect is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so this was the picture that God put in my head for this particular passage. Here we have God's glorious riches up here at the top. And I just put a bag of gold, just because that's all Canva offered me for something that looks similar to God's glorious riches. Obviously, his riches are a lot more than a bag of gold. But his riches that he gives to us are derived, it's derived from his riches. This is going to represent the Holy Spirit. It's derived from there, it's delivered through the Holy Spirit to us so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Why would Paul pray that we need God's power in order for God to dwell in our hearts? It's because God can't dwell in a place that is already full. And in this case, before we come to faith in Jesus, our hearts are full of sin. And so Paul is praying for the church, for us, that for us to overcome sin, we need God's power that is derived from his glorious riches, that is delivered through the Holy Spirit. We need all of that in order for God to dwell in our hearts through faith. See, Paul teaches us previously that we were slaves to sin, and this seems to be a common theme that I always tend to come back to in my sermons here in the last couple months. We are all slaves to sin. In fact, Paul says that we were powerless to overcome sin in our life. There is no way that we ourselves can overcome the sin that has enslaved us from our birth because of our fleshly nature. And so in order for us to overcome that sin, in order for us to no longer be slaves or chained to sin, we needed someone to break that chain so that we can break out of that prison. Well, that's what Paul is referring to here. He says, hey, God's power is there for you. Out of his glorious riches, delivered through the Holy Spirit, if you will take hold of this, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's how we take hold of it. And you got to repent of your sins and follow him. So Paul continues, and I love this next part here. He says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge. So he prays that they may be able to grasp and know how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. So he gives us this image here, basically, is what he's wanting us to capture, the wide, long, high, and deep. Now, I don't know about you, but that covers all directions. And I'm gonna explain that in a second, or give us a visual for that in a second. He makes that statement. If you look at these verses, that's the main statement in there, that he wants them to grasp, to understand God's love. But he makes that statement, and he bookends it, is what I want to call it, with two interesting statements that, when you read it, they seem to contradict one another. First, he says that they are rooted and established in love. When you talk about something being rooted and established, I think about a tree with its roots in the ground. That's what keeps the tree standing. So he's saying, hey, you've been rooted in God's love. That is the part that keeps you grounded. Part of that established too. We just sang about Christ as our firm foundation. He is the foundation in which our house, our life is built. When you think about the Christian walk, it doesn't start without understanding God's love, without having some knowledge of the love that God has for us. And so Paul is saying, hey, I know you've been rooted and established in love. You know this love. This is the love that has gotten you started in this walk with God. So he says, hey, you know this love. And then look at this next statement. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. He says, hey, you've been rooted and established in it, that it surpasses knowledge. That seems contradictory, that we know something that we can't know in full. Yeah, that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Hey, you know this love, but you don't know it in full. It's almost as if, this is the image God put me in my head for this one. It's almost as if, and I was going to do this a different way, but I decided to do it on here. Let's just say that we had lines going, and these lines went as far each direction as possible. So just imagine it continues to run off this screen. He's saying, let's just use this as wide, this is long, this is deep, this is high. This is the love of God. This is your understanding of the love of God. The thing is, you're not going to understand it all. You're only going to understand, actually, there's a highlight tool. Let me use the highlight tool. There we go. Getting fancy up here. All we understand is that little bit of the love of God. You know the love of God. You're rooted and established in that love, but you don't comprehend it in full. You've got to know this love in order to get started in your walk with God. Scripture teaches us that he loves us get-go. And for us to get past our own sin and our own brokenness, we've got to have some understanding of this love. Let me tell you about a conversation I had a few weeks ago that just broke my heart. I invited someone to church, and they told me, they said, "Oh no, I can't go. If I walk through that church will burn down." And that broke my heart, hearing them say that, because what a lot of regret, a lot of guilt, a lot of brokenness. And I said, "No, it will not." And they said, "Yeah, it will. Believe me, it will." And I said, "No, it will not. I said, I guarantee you there are people in our church that have worse past than you." And that statement that they made has just stuck with me. Ever since they shared it with me. And I plan on talking to them again at some point, specifically about that statement. Because what they have to understand is that the love of God is greater than any of their sins. That he loves them so much that he can wipe their sin away. And our love for them should be higher too. When I shared with him this story, he said, "One thing that that person needs to understand, that if the church is going to burn down, we're going to be burning down with them in it. That we're going to stand with them, because that's what Christians are called to do." We've got to have, you know, the statement that this person made is the same statement, same feelings that I think we really feel when we come to faith in Jesus right at the beginning. We feel like we are so messed up that there's no way that that God would love us. That's where you got to understand just a little bit of his love. Now, as you grow in your walk with God, it is possible to grow in more knowledge of that love. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to understand that love. We did a heaven sermon series not too long ago. And in that heaven sermon series, these people who had went to heaven and then come back to earth, they talked about how when they died, they experienced a love beyond comprehension. Sounds similar to what Paul said here. They said it was as if everyone who has ever loved them in their life loved them all at once. And even that, and these are direct quotes, even that couldn't compare to the love that they felt. It's because they, when we die, one day we're going to experience that love in full. The reason why we don't right now is because we're still broken. We live in a sinful world. We still have sin in our life, no matter how much we try to follow God. You're still going to fall short of the glory of God. You're still not going to be able to comprehend that love in full. But you can comprehend it more than you do now. The closer we get to God, the more we'll comprehend that love. So, continuing on, Paul says this, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I've got to get off the highlighter now. There we go. So you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So he prays that they would comprehend this love, that they would experience the power that God can deliver through the Holy Spirit, derived from his glorious riches, so that he may dwell in their hearts, so they break the power of sin in their life, so that they would be engulfed in his love. And all of this is so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This last sentence is packed full of stuff. You're going to hear me throughout the rest of the sermon. I'm going to talk about being filled with God. But that statement is not what Paul makes here. He doesn't just say, so that you may be filled with God. He doesn't even say, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. He says, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's three times in there that he's talking about being filled with the fullness of God, being filled with all the fullness of God. What is he communicating there? He prays that the church would be filled to their capacity with Jesus, as God is filled to his own capacity with his own character and attributes. Basically, that everything Jesus is would live in them, would dwell in their hearts, that they would experience that love, and that Jesus would so fulfill their life, so fill their life that it's going to pour out into others. He prays that they would experience Jesus in full, in the measure of all the fullness of God. And then he says this statement, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This last part here is about giving God praise, about giving God glory. Specifically, is all of this, talking about being filled with love, being filled with power, being filled with the fullness of God, is for God's glory. If we experience his power that helps us overcome sin, if we know this love, and if we are filled with all the fullness of God, the result is that God will do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Notice whose power it is. Not our power, at his power at work within us. This word right here, immeasurably more, we think this is a word that Paul came up with. Immeasurably means extensive or extreme. So Paul is saying that God will do extensively more, extremely more than what we could ever imagine, what we could ever ask for. So imagine the most powerful, life-changing, world-changing thing that you would want God to do through you. He could do immeasurably more than he wants to. How does he do that? Through his power at work in us. You are just the means for his power to work in our world. And boy, do we need it today. You turn on the TV, you get on Facebook, you read the paper, whatever, however you get your news, you see that it's bad. And it's not just bad where all these wars are happening. It's not just bad in the big cities. It's bad right here in Randolph County. There are people being killed right here in Randolph County. There are children being abused right here in Randolph County. There are drugs killing people on our streets right here in Randolph County. There are homeless people who are on the streets in this freezing cold to the point that we're opening up shelters in Asheboro and Randall, and I saw the last few days, because we have problems here in Randolph County. If there was ever a time for the church to step up and be the church, it is now. We need this type of power at work in the church for us to experience all God wants to do in this county, in this state, and beyond. Which is where we lead into the word for the year, expand. Let's talk about expanding our capacity. When I say capacity, we need to add more seats. No. I'm talking about capacity in this case means something, the amount that something can produce. So if a manufacturing company is operating to their maximum capacity, it means they're producing all that they can produce. As followers of God, we are called to produce what Scripture refers to as fruit. Fruit of the kingdom of God. One of the clearest passages of this is John 15, chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus, in this chapter, he is comparing himself to a vine and saying, "We are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." What does he mean by fruit in this passage? Well, he's given us this image of, let's just use a grapevine, and there's branches, and the grapes come off the branches. That's how the fruit is produced. Can the branch produce fruit if it's not connected to the vine? No, because the vine's connected to the roots that is bringing the nutrients in. He says that followers of Jesus, he doesn't say you can produce much fruit or I hope you will produce much fruit. He says you will bear much fruit. This is an automatic result of being connected to the vine. You're going to produce fruit. So what is fruit? I defined fruit a few years ago as the good things produced from your life that positively affects the spiritual life of those around you. So to go along with our passage, when we talk about God's power at work within us, that he can do immeasurably more, it means that he can produce as much fruit beyond our imagination, really. He will produce good things out of your life that affect other people. So for 2024, let's make it each one of our individual goals to expand our capacity, or in other words, output, this year. Let's produce as much fruit as we can for the kingdom of God. Let's help as many people as we can. Let's reach as many people as we can. Every year, this kind of goes with our first way we applied last year's word, be who God has called his followers to be. And it kind of goes with the second one too, be who God has gifted you to be. Every year I feel like I say this, but if each of us are doing what God has called us to do, our church would be like a well-oiled machine in this work that God has called us to do. Think about a manufacturing company. If one or two people are not doing their job, is it going to affect the rest of the company's ability to manufacture the products that they are trying to manufacture? Yeah. Some of you that have manufacturing jobs, you know there's some people that don't lose their jobs. Same way with the church. If we have one or two people not doing the jobs that God has gifted them to do, you each have a purpose, you each have a calling, and we have to fulfill that calling. If we're all doing what we are called to do, our church collectively is going to see God do some amazing things. Now, how does that happen? We have to be filled to capacity with God. If you want to produce as much fruit as you can produce, much spiritual fruit as you can produce in this life, you've got to be filled to capacity with God. You can't give what you don't have. And without God, you don't have anything to give. You'll be like a branch trying to produce fruit, not connected to any roots, not established in love, as Paul prayed there. You wouldn't have anything to produce. Instead, we have to make it our goal to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, if Paul prayed this, it means that it's possible to not be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Why could we not be filled with God? Because we have something else preventing us from being filled. And that something else is sin. Sin will hinder us from experiencing the fullness of God in our life, which will in turn hurt the fruit that we are, that God would desire for us to produce. And so what we have to do is we have to get this sin out of our life. And to do that, guess what? It goes back to the first part of that prayer. We've got to lean on the power of God in our life. As Paul said, I pray that he would strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We need to ask God for that power. We need to pray that we would experience that power at work in our life so that we would have room for God to fill our hearts with his love and mercy and grace. So let's make it our goal this year to clear out what shouldn't be in our hearts so that God can fill us to our capacity with him. We do that by asking him to help us to overcome sin, asking him to fill us up, and asking him to expand our capacity. If we do that, that will lead into the next way we're applying this word for the year. We will expand the kingdom of God. What I mean by that is that we would be bring as many possible into the kingdom of God as possible. How do we do that? Through evangelism. What is evangelism? Evangelism is basically about sharing the gospel with people. Evangelism is a lost art in the American church today for some reason. Evangelism is not something the typical churchgoer does anymore. For some reason, we have concluded that it's up to the pastor and the staff and whoever else to be the ones to share the gospel with people. But that's not what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. He's called us all to go and make disciples. Not just certain people, not just the people that are called. We're all called. We're all called to be the priesthood of believers. And when you look at our county, a majority of the people in our county, if the world ended today, are going to hell. These are sobering statistics. 65% of Randolph County residents are not religious at all. That was not from the last census. I think that was from the census before. So I had a feeling that number probably went up at this last census. Nonetheless, another study was done and looked at a typical Sunday. How many people in Randolph County are in church on a typical Sunday? And the number is 12.5%. That was pre-COVID. And any church that I know of today, they're still struggling post-COVID. Most churches are still struggling post-COVID. Most churches' numbers are down post-COVID. So that number is probably closer to 10% of people, you know, on a typical Sunday are in church. Now, I'm not saying that going to church means that you're going to heaven. That's not how it works. But when looking at what God has called his people to do as followers of him, we are called together with believers. Sunday morning is the typical day in which we gather with believers. So I would say that number is probably a pretty good number to tell us who's really committed to this following Jesus thing. And so then I decided to put this in another context. I thought about when I go to eat at a restaurant, or I go in a store, or even when I used to work at Food Lion. If you look at these numbers, it's very possible that 9 out of every 10 people you meet are headed for hell in Randolph County. Believe it or not, Greensboro's numbers are better than ours. Guilford County's are. But as many churches we have in Randolph County, we're doing a worse job in Randolph County than they are in Guilford County. 9 out of 10 people you meet in Randolph County are probably headed to hell if they were to die right now. And guess whose job it is to reach them with the gospel? It's yours. Evangelism, I believe, is unlocked when we understand the love God has for us, which is the second part of Paul's prayer. If we truly knew the love God has for us, we would want others to experience that love as well. But not only that, but as we experience more and more of God's love, and as we get closer and closer to God, we will learn that he has that same level of love for those people that you come across every single day. Those people in your workplaces, those people in the restaurants, those people in the stores that you go to. That person who made the statement that if they walked through the church would burn down. My prayer is that that would break my heart as much as it breaks God's heart to hear that. Because God loves that person so, so much. And he hates that they don't understand that love that he has for them. If we would understand that love and understand it in full, it would enable us to do, it would not only enable us, it would encourage us, it would push us to do evangelism more than we are today. Next week, we have a guest preacher coming down to preach. His name's Randy Garner. He planted a church in Williamsburg, Virginia, that area. And that church has planted 2 other churches out of it. He is retired now. He does revivals and preaching at other churches, and he leads our Dirt Roads Network Zoom call that our staff does every other week. And Randy's just a great guy. He was going to be in Asheboro next week, and I said, do you want to come preach at Cornerstone? And he said it would be an honor of him for him. Randy is very passionate about evangelism. He tells us all the time about the people that he's talked to. The people that he shared the gospel with. And so I've asked him to come next week and to reinforce my message about evangelism, because that's one area where our church is weakest at, is sharing the gospel with people. And so he's going to come and he's going to kick our tail in the gear with that. So I'm excited for that. I've never heard him preach, but he is a goofball and a half plus some. So he will be fun to listen to. So be thinking to prepare for next week about who doesn't know Jesus in your sphere of influence. Chances are 9 out of 10 people in your sphere of influence, if they're in Randolph County, don't know Jesus. The third way we're applying our word for this year is to expand our kingdom influence. And this is for us as a church. Right now, when you look at how our church is influencing the kingdom, we are influencing the kingdom in Seagrove and in Liberty, in both of those communities. We are influencing Seagrove directly because we're doing ministry here in Seagrove, and we're influencing Liberty indirectly. We are not in Liberty necessarily, but we have sent people from our church to Liberty. We have sent Don and Kathy and Mike and Pat and John and whoever else is up there to Liberty. We have given money to Liberty, to our church in Liberty, and we have done outreach in Liberty. So we are influencing two different places, and my prayer is that God would expand our influences in both places even more. But this week, I will be meeting, the plan is, to be meeting with a church in Troy. I don't know if you know where Troy is. It's south of here in Montgomery County. I don't know how far south, Rand. 20 minutes? 30 minutes? Yeah. It's not too far away, but me and their pastor are good friends. This church in Troy is not going to need nowhere near the same level of focus as New Life did. We will not be remodeling the church. We won't be restarting the church. None of that. This church has about 30-something people, probably 30, 40 people on a typical Sunday. But me and their pastor are good friends. We meet every Thursday for breakfast, and he has asked about partnering with us. And so our goal at this point, we got to get approved by their board and everything. But right now, the plan is for us to share our resources with them, to do outreach with them, and for basically me and our staff to come alongside them and advise their leadership team there at their church. This is a way that we're expanding our kingdom influence. If you look on that board over there, our vision from the get-go was to build the foundation for a move of God in southern Randolph County and beyond. Well, we're reaching southern Randolph County, and we see God doing the beyond part with Liberty and Troy. We want to build this foundation, which the way you build this foundation is by making disciples of Jesus. So let me propose a question to you. Where else could God want us to expand our kingdom influence? I don't know. Last year, when I delivered the possibility, what else does God have in store for us this year, next year, and beyond? I don't know where God wants to expand our kingdom influence, but I do know two things. First is that God wants to do immeasurably more than what we could ever ask for or imagine. And the second thing is we have to be ready. So my question to end today is this. Are we ready? If we're not, we better get ready. I've read a lot of books. My heart is rural churches, and so I've read a lot of books about how God worked through rural, small churches. And I didn't even pick one particular story out because all the stories were similar in the books that I've read. These churches were down 10, 15, 20 people, really struggling. New pastor comes in, or the pastor has been there for a little while, whatever it may be, and they were really hoping that God would move in their church in some way or another. And so time after time in these books, they would share about how their church would go from 10, 20, barely making it, struggling, barely keeping the doors open. Just even some have grown bigger than that into the thousands. And each time the author of the book asked them, what did you do differently? And their answer each time was that they followed God. They said, preaching stayed the same. The pastor was just as bad as he was before. The music stayed the same. What they did, though, was they started to pray. They started to seek God's face. They asked God to move in their lives in mighty ways. And all of a sudden, the harvest came in. We tend to think all these worldly ways, I think, to try to reach people with the gospel. But what it comes down to is simply following God. And so here's the prayer points I want us to end with today. I want us to pray along with that prayer, and I'm going to pray that prayer over us as we end today, but I want to invite each one of us to pray that we would experience the power of God that's derived from His glorious riches, delivered through the Holy Spirit, that we would experience that power in our life to help us overcome sin, and that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As the worship team comes up, we're going to sing Too Good to Not Believe. It's a song, we haven't sang it in a little while, but it's a song about how good God is, and He's good, too good to not believe that He can do powerful things through each and every one of us. And my invitation to you, got to get around me, don't you, Michael? My invitation to you during this last song is to come to this altar. Ask God to work in your life so that you can experience that power in your life. Ask God that you would be able to experience His love in greater ways than you could ever ask for or imagine. And ask God to fill you with Himself. Fill you to the measure of all the fullness of God. Go on, stand to your feet.